Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. At least 60 people are now confirmed dead after a massive earthquake struck southern Mexico late Thursday. Authorities expect the death toll to rise. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto says the quake was bigger than a 1985 earthquake that killed thousands. This latest quake struck off Mexico's southern Pacific coast. It did trigger a 1-meter-high tsunami, but there was no immediate reports of tsunami damage. As Hurricane Irma moves toward the U.S. state of Florida, officials there warning millions of people that it's time to evacuate after the storm killed at least 22 in the Caribbean and caused catastrophic destruction. Mark DeMaria is with the U.S. National Hurricane Center.
Because it's a large storm, we expect the conditions to last in South Florida for 24 to 36 hours. We also have to take into consideration that we expect this to remain a hurricane well up the coast and even into central and northern Florida into Monday time frame. And then further up, we expect this to be a possible rainfall threat into southeast U.S.
Behind Irma is Hurricane Jose, with similar strong winds at 250 kilometers per hour, following the same route with the island of Barbuda in its path, Barbuda virtually uninhabitable after Irma. Meantime, Hurricane Katia made landfall in Mexico late Friday. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley reminding Myanmar while Washington supports its fight against violence in northwestern Rakhine State, humanitarian aid must get through. The violence began August 25th when Rohingya insurgents carried out attacks to bring attention to their persecution. Subsequent clashes have left 400 dead, triggered an exodus to Bangladesh. This is VOA News. The United States formally requested a vote of the UN Security Council for Monday on a draft resolution to establish new sanctions against North Korea. That's because of their nuclear and missile programs. President Trump is warning that, in his words, all will be very sad that day for North Korea if the United States takes military action against Pyongyang.
We've had presidents for 25 years now. They've been talking, and the day after an agreement is reached, new work begins in North Korea, continuation on nuclear. So I would prefer not going the route of the military, but it's something certainly that could happen.
Mr. Trump in recent days has made phone calls to key counterparts in Asia and Europe as the U.S. explores other means of corralling the North Korean threat, including using diplomatic efforts. Syria has pushed back against the United Nations, saying the report accusing its air force of using sarin gas to attack villages and civilians is politically motivated and baseless. That story now from VOA's Andrew Palchevsky.
The Syrian government said via official statement it possesses no chemical weapons and considers using them a moral crime that can only be condemned. The UN Commission of Inquiry on Syria says it has reasonable grounds to believe the Syrian government is responsible for the April attack in the rebel-held town of Khan Sheikhoun, which killed at least 83 civilians. The commission based its report on information collected from satellite images, video, photos, medical records, and over 300 interviews. The government questioned the findings and rejected the commission's report. Andrew Palchevsky, VOA News.
Pope Francis brought together thousands of victims of Colombia's 50-year-long conflict with leftist rebels to pray for reconciliation.
Colombia, abre tu corazón de pueblo de Dios. Déjate reconciliar.
He said, Colombia, open your hearts as the people of God and be reconciled. He went on to say they should not resist reconciliation in any way whatsoever. In the highlight of his Colombia pilgrimage, Francis flew into an area once besieged by leftist rebels. There he prayed for the victims and urged them to overcome their grief by forgiving their assailants. Brazil's top prosecutor has charged six lawmakers from President Michel Temer's Brazilian Democratic Movement Party with forming a criminal organization, the latest in a barrage of charges in the country's ongoing corruption scandal. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Russ Davis welcoming you to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with the Comeback Kid. This edition of Jazz America is a celebration of the return of Mike Stern, the great guitarist. Mike Stern, the great guitarist, was in his New York City streets, hailing a taxi cab when he fell over some construction material that had been left on the sidewalk. He fell and broke both of his arms and injured his shoulders, but returned in mere months to be on stage, on tour, in the studio, and has just released, a little over a year after that accident, which occurred in the summertime of 2016, a new release titled Trip. Now, you talk about someone with a fantastic talent and also a great attitude. Mike Stern, always a smile on his face, even in the face of adversity. We should all learn from that. I know you're going to learn that he's still a great guitar player, and I think you'll enjoy the music from this new album, which we'll give you later on. Now, I mentioned earlier that the 10th of September is my birthday, and I like to celebrate here on Jazz America by giving you music from my fellow Virgos, jazz artists also born in this general part of the month of September. And let's begin with two birthday boys. First, Sonny Rollins, who was born on the 7th of September in 1930. And from his album, one of his many live recordings over the years, this one, Roadshows Volume 4, his latest, here's Disco Monk from 1978. Here on VOA's Jazz America, as we wish Sonny Rollins a very happy birthday.
Well, we'd like to do something that we recorded in our last album. I dedicated it to my good friend Thelonious Monk, and we hope you'll enjoy it. It's entitled Disco Monk.
Joe. We gotta go, me or my own. We gotta go, Paul, if you broke down a bio. My chili, sweet for me or my own. Son of a gun, we're gonna have big fun on the bio. Not Denver like crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my Sherry Leo. Pick a talk, fill through joy and be gale. Son of a gun, we're gonna have big fun on the bio. Bon temps swing, man.
Louisiana, the birthplace of jazz, too. On the 11th September in 1967, the great pianist, vocalist, composer, and now television and film star, Harry Connick Jr. That was a cut from his album, his celebration of his hometown, Oh My Nola. And Nola, as you may know, if you don't know, then you will now, is also an easy nickname for New Orleans. And the locals and people all around the world just say, I'm going to Nola this weekend to eat some great food, maybe some jambalaya, like the song you just heard from Harry Connick Jr., and hear some jazz. Happy birthday, Harry. Now, let's turn once again to more conversation with our special guest on this edition of Jazz America, the comeback kid, I call him, Mike Stern. Songs on this album, Trip, include titles like Scotch Tape and Glue, Screws. He had a number of screws put into one of his arms just so he could continue to play. And he brought in 17 members of his friends and family, including his wife, Leni Stern, to join in with him. And along with them, Randy Brecker, Lenny White, saxophonist Bill Evans, Wallace Roney on the trumpet, and so many others. We'll enjoy a cut from Mike Stern's latest release called Trip. He'll swing a little bit for us with a traditional sound of the song B-Train after we hear from him here on VOA's Jazz America. Mike Stern is my guest here. You have had, there's been a lot of water under your bridge down through the years, my friend, and it's been a glorious career so far and no stopping on the horizon. So thanks for being here. I appreciate you coming by.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And I want to talk about all the stuff that has come down in your life as much time as we have.
I like to kind of incorporate just who I am in my music, you know, and I came up being influenced like a lot of guitar players who grew up in the 60s. I was influenced by Jimi Hendrix, of course, by Jeff Beck, by Clapton with the Cream, you know, a lot of blues players, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, you know, people like that. And then I got more into jazz. My mom used to play a lot of jazz records and a lot of classical records around the house. She played jazz piano, some just for fun, and some classical. She was a better classical player, actually. So I used to hear that all the time. And so I, those were some of my early influences also, from her, what she was listening to. So I started getting more into jazz with just from listening to the records that she was listening to, and I fell in love with it. So I think of myself really as a jazz musician, if there was a, you know, some kind of label you'd put on me, but I don't usually like labels particularly in there. But I definitely think of myself as that. But like a lot of guitar players, my generation and younger, a lot of jazz, quote-unquote jazz guitar players, we've got a lot of, there's a lot of blues and rock in our playing, you know.
Yep.
And I like, and of course then it's basically, I've been really steeped in jazz since I was about 17 or 18. I just went for it full on, you know. And that's what I try to learn and study. So I'm into all of the above, but I like to include the influences in my writing and in my playing of earlier stuff. You know what I mean? So some of that rock stuff comes out. So a lot of blues comes out. A lot of that stuff comes out. I don't care as long as it's coming from the heart. That's the main thing, you know.
And coming from the heart of Mike Stern, the song B-Train from his latest Trip on Jazz America from VOA 1. I'll fill you in on a little something about how I put this show together. I try to do it spontaneously, just coming up with musical ideas for the next song to follow the song it's on right now, just as if I were doing it live as a DJ. And I think I've just been spontaneously channeling New Orleans on this edition of Jazz America. Now, that wasn't a New Orleans band you just heard, but there was a lot of classic New Orleans-sounding jazz in the version of the classic song, Yes, Sir, That's My Baby, recorded in 1966, featuring Thad Jones on the flugelhorn, and another legend, Pepper Adams, on the baritone sax, with Duke Pearson on the piano and Ron Carter on the bass and Mel Lewis on the drums. What a band. Well, I've got more coming up in our celebration of Mike Stern. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received which reads as follows. Hi, Russ. Miles Davis is gone, but his music lives on, and he will be remembered as a visionary and a composer. May his soul rest in perfect peace. Please play me some of his jazz funk as a remembrance. Mohammed Ahmed Mansour of Monrovia, Liberia. Mohammed, it would be my pleasure to play some of that funky stuff from Miles Davis, and this is an appropriate one since we're celebrating his former bandmate, his guitarist Mike Stern. Because, as I've mentioned earlier, Mike burst upon the scene in the early 1980s as a member of Miles' band. With Miles' return to recording after a few years off, he got himself together in a major way, did Miles Davis, and hired a fantastic band, Mike Stern among them, and he enjoyed playing with him so much that he wrote a song dedicated to Mike, and here it is. It's called Fat Time, from that return album, The Man with the Horn. Mike Stern with Miles Davis, just for you, Mohammed Ahmed Mansour of Monrovia, Liberia, listening to VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
riding in a car through the streets of New Orleans, and it's pouring down rain. Roads ain't nothing but streams. And he's looking out the window. He turns to me and says, he says, "Welcome to the quagmire, son." Then he shakes his head. He says something at the time I didn't really understand, because it came out of nowhere and a man is so offhand. But anytime he wants to, he'll cut you like a knife. He said it all comes down to someone's money versus someone else's life. Now we're sitting in a bar in Soho. It's winter, it's dark, and we eat some spaghetti at this little jazz club by the park. He's laughing about a time way back in the past. This little joint in Tippo, folks used to stop for gas, put a nickel in the jukebox, make a little music play, have a cold Coca-Cola, hear what T-Bone had to say. And then he asked me, "Man, you ever hear about the Bohog grind?" I said, "No." He said, "Me neither, baby, but that's what I'm gonna find." He's looking for the Bohog grind. He said, "I don't worry about a thing. Ain't nothing gonna be all right. I might be no one this morning. I was someone last night. I'm not talking. It just don't pay. I'm just trying to swing a little in my way." We in a recording studio in Manhattan. Paul motions at the drums. We're taking a slow five. Up this story comes. It's about Rue Moore. Fell down the steps of Tivoli and dies. He's kind of laughing. He got a sad look in his eyes. And he says, "You know that man was never on the cover of a magazine and just got $1 million. Now the scene was clean." There was a moment of silence and respect for man's fate. And he said, "If I ever write my book, I'm calling it Too Much Too Late. It's called Too Much Too Late." Everybody's crying mercy. They don't know the meaning of the word. Yeah, the fool killer's coming. I do believe it's true. He said the fool killer's coming. You better try to make your getaway. He said, "Look here." He said, "What you think you're gonna be doing next year?" He said, "Ever since the world ended, I don't get out as much." He said, "Money ain't the answer, because it can't buy cancer." He said, "That gray-haired geezer you think you see, that ain't me." He said, "I'm just a lucky so-and-so, mixing up the boogie and the do-si-do." He said, "I'm mixing up the boogie and the do-si-do. He's just a mixing up the boogie and the do-si-do." He said, "Thank God for self-love. Thank God for self-love." He said, "Thank God for self-love." He said, "Thank God for self-love." He said, "Thank God for self-love."
That's the latest thank work God. From the inventive vocalist, pianist, composer, Ben Sidran. His salute to Mose Allison, one of the major influences in his musical life, no doubt about it, with a song from the album Picture Him Happy, entitled Too Much, Too Late, What Mose Said. This is Russ Davis, and let's return to more conversation with this week's special guest, Mike Stern, and then hear more music from his return to recording and performing the album Trip. You know, you have really accomplished a lot. I mean, this is a chance for me, somebody outside yourself. You're not going to look in the mirror and say this stuff to you, so I'm going to say this stuff to you. You've got 3 Grammy nominations. You've topped the polls as Guitar Player of the Year. People that love guitarists vote for you as their favorite guitarist. I mean, this stuff is a reflection of having done it a long time at a really high level. And you got to feel pretty good about those sort of things. Come on, talk to me now.
I like, certainly, you know, it's nice to be, to have appreciation when you put yourself out there with anything that you do, you know, and you get some feedback from people. I think it's, to be very honest with you, it would be enough for me just to have somebody come up at a gig and say, man, I like that solo you played or that tune, you know, I enjoyed it, or the people sometimes come up and kids will come up, or, you know, younger musicians and say, well, I'm learning that tune. I want to chart. We want to do your tune in our band and that kind of stuff. You know, that kind of gets you in a deeper level than anything, like a Grammy nomination or something. It's amazingly cool, you know, but on a kind of a personal level, when somebody comes up and said, wow, that tune just made me feel right. You know, that ballad got my heart or whatever is like deep. And it can be five people in the audience. Sometimes, you know, and it can still get you, you know, it's weird. Or you could be playing in front of 10,000 people and sometimes not get the same feeling, you know. Mm. So, or sometimes you can in a different kind of way. So, I like getting some support and all that stuff. But that kind of personal stuff is would be plenty for me, and that's been happening for a while. It's just from the heart, and I think that's something really beautiful about music, is that it brings people together in a lot of ways, in ways that, and if you really play your heart out, people can feel it. They feel like they can talk to you about stuff right away. It's kind of natural kind of thing, and so I dig that kind of warm thing that music can bring.
Reminds you of why you got into it in the first place and why you keep doing it.
Exactly.
Of that sort of reinforcement.
Absolutely.
And no matter what comes, Mike Stern does keep doing it. From the album Trip, here's a song entitled Scotch Tape and Glue on Jazz America from VOA 1.
back to 1968 to give you the title cut from the great Herbie Mann and the album Memphis Underground. I wanted to play that for a couple of reasons. First, it's a wonderful piece of music from the late, great Herbie Mann, and it features one of the earliest recordings from the late, great guitarist Larry Coryell, who, like Mike Stern, always thought of as one of the greats of all time. And it also leads me to tell you that next week on Jazz America, we're going to be playing a brand new recording by a Memphis girl, Dee Dee Bridgewater. She was born in Flint, Michigan, but raised in Memphis, Tennessee, and her new album is a salute to Memphis soul called Memphis Yes, I'm Ready. Get ready to hear that next week on Jazz America.